Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Chef Duardo, and welcome to Foodomania. It's incredible. It's literally the last Saturday in September of 2012. It's hard to believe that Monday will be the first. And as Paul O'Dean would say, hey, 31 days to Halloween, y'all. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I had to do that. I was just reading a little thing about Paul O'Dean the other day. Oh, what a mess. Anyway, I was thinking about her fried cheesecake and wonton wrappers and realizing that I don't know if it's legal for people to tell people how to kill themselves. But anyway, nevertheless, don't do it. Don't put the cheesecake in the wonton wrapper and dip it in the deep fryer and then cover it with chocolate sauce and whipped cream unless you really don't care about living anymore. All right, I'm not going to get negative. God bless Paula Deen. This is Stuardo, and we're not thinking about Paula Deen right now. All right. I'm even giving her airtime on my show. What can I tell you? All right. Here's what I want to tell you today. This is incredible. The seasons are changing. If you go outside and look and see everything that's going on, wherever you might be listening today, you're noticing something happening. Now, of course, if you're in the Los Angeles basin, maybe you're not figuring that out yet because it's always pretty nice there. But I know up here in the Pacific Northwest, it started happening about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we knew for sure that there was something in the air, literally. So we'd have 75 to 80 degree days, and then we'd have 45 degree nights. In just a matter of 5 hours, everything just split in half temperature-wise. Yesterday, I was outside working in the yard a little bit, and I was just feeling like I had to take most of, you know, my shirts off and make sure I'm always wearing shorts anyway and just absorb the sun because it was getting warm. But it made me think, and here's what we got to do. We got to start thinking about preparing our gardens for winter. And you remember one of the first shows way back when, many months ago, I talked about building your little garden boxes and getting started with that. Well, I have to tell you, it's so amazing to me that all these weeks have passed. We've had a great summer. Hopefully, we've had bountiful harvests. And I wanted to tell people to start sending me pictures of their great gardens if they have any from the summer. And, of course, send them to me at chefstuardo@hotmail.com. C-H-E-F is in prank, S is in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O at hotmail.com. And we'll absolutely be able to, without a shadow of a doubt, post them up on the Foodomania Facebook page. Well, I have a really special guest today because we're going to be talking about putting the garden to bed for winter. And it's mostly a matter of just cleaning up and covering up as fall, you know, progresses. Pardon me, and temperatures drop. The plants that aren't killed outright by frost prepare for dormancy, like the bears going in the caves for winter. So you want to clear out the stems and the foliage and flowers and things like that. If you have raised beds, you want to dig and box in the raised beds and make, you know, general repairs that might have to happen after the summer. You know, when it appears that all the activity is gone, there's a lot going on under the soil. Until it freezes, new transplanted trees, shrubs, perennials, bulbs, and so incredibly happy that today I will have my special guest joining me on the air right now. I want you to, everybody, to say a warm welcome to Rhonda E. Rhonda, you with us?
Hi, how you doing?
All right, there she is. Hey, doing great. And I thought when I was going to do this show on putting your gardens to bed, there's nobody better that I know that could join me in that because you are, in my opinion, quite the master gardener, even though you'll never admit that to the world. But, you know, I've heard about the things that you've done, the gardens you've had over the years, and I've been privileged to see some of the pictures and also actually experience it here in some of my own gardens when you've come over and seen me. And actually, you're totally responsible for the incredible dahlia harvest that I have this year. And anybody that has looked at any of the Facebook pages could see the pictures of our dahlias unbelievable. And you know, they're only unbelievable because of what you did when you came over once last year. And I was at work, and I came home from work, and before I knew it, there were no dahlias left, except in vases all over the place, or vases, however you want to say that. But I said, where'd they go? Are they going to come back? And you looked at me and said, oh, yeah, they're going to come back. And, of course, me, I said, well, no, I guess hopefully they'll be coming back. Well, not only did they come back, but they came back twice as nice as the year before. So when we're thinking of things that this year, now, of course, there's still some things on the vine, in some cases,
right,
depending on the climate. But I know I'm just starting to bring in the tomatoes because last year I lost my tomatoes within about a day or two because of that blight or whatever you want to call it. So I'm bringing
right.
them green, and I'm trying to lay them out on a counter and trying to let them, you know, sort of ripen by themselves. So when you think of your garden after this wonderful season, what are you starting to think about, and what should some of our listeners start thinking about right now?
Well, really what you should start thinking about is harvesting a few of your things, you know, because you just want to make sure you get some of those things done by September. You know, you basically want to get your sage, your lavender.
Well, I have to tell you, if it's got to be done by September, we only have 24 hours or so left.
Well, you know, we've had a little bit of a different weather system. I think you're okay to go through mid-October, too, you know, but you really want to try
okay.
to really go and get your basil, you know, your dill, you know, your thyme, your sage, your lavender, your mints, all that kind of stuff, and decide for yourself. Am I going to do an herb garden inside, or am I going to dry these to use these and then use also some of the seeds to plant for next year for spring? So those are the things you want to be thinking about, yeah. So it really depends on what... It really depends on what you're headed, what your head is saying. I want to do. I want to create an herb garden. So then you have to go into the garden, and you've got to, you know, if you don't have them in pots already, you're going to take them out of the ground and put them in pots. You're going to want to take them and find an area. They're going to want direct sun, and it's going to have to be in a climate that's not too hot and too cold, but just mild. And they're
now,
going to.
What we're
they're
talking
going to be,
about right now is. We're talking about an indoor herb garden. Is that what you're
talking about? Indoor herb garden.
Before we go to that project, because a lot of people are kind of happy at this time of year that it's done for the summer, so they can put everything
right.
to sleep and not think about it until next year. So we'll save building an indoor herb garden or doing that. You know, we'll think about that. But for the most part, if you're not going to do the indoor herb garden, or you haven't decided yet, what should you be thinking about to get everything prepared? And then, as a segue, in the little corner there, okay, now we got all this done. Now, if I want to, I could do an indoor herb garden. So tell me what stages, you know, what steps you would take.
Well, first of all, you know, this is canning season. People are canning. They're, you know, getting their vegetables. They're canning. They're freezing. They're making their jams. They're doing all that kind of stuff. So you have to say to yourself, what am I going to do? Am I going to toil the ground and pull everything up and get the mulch ready, you know, so the weeds, you know, for the winter and all that for the next spring, it will keep the ground moist. You're going to want to treat it, you know, to make sure that there's, you know, whether you're going organic, whether you're going to use pesticides, whatever, you know, you got to decide what you're going to do. So there's going to be some toiling the ground for a little while. But then you have to say, like I said before, am I doing an herb garden after I've done all this, or am I going to take these herbs and things that I have? And you can go into what we call the drying stage, which you basically is take all your sturdy herbs, thyme, your savory, dill, rosemary, sage, you know, and you can cut the whole branches of each one of those and rinse them in cool water as you bring them in. And now if you decide you want to dry them, you can hang them upside down in small bunches. And basically you want to keep it in a ventilated room so they can become the drying herbs, you know, through the season. So you can have about 2 or 3 weeks of drying time if you want to bring your herbs and you want to do this because you want to save them. And you're going to place them after they've dried, you're going to place them in an airtight container. And then after they've been basically in an airtight container, you can take them after that and grind and crush them. Before you
get,
so basically what you're going to do is, you know, a lot of people will take them off of, you know, the little branch. Best to do it the other way if you want to do it the right way is to hang them properly for 2-3 weeks. And so now when you want to use your herbs, basically you would just go grab them dry, in a dry state, and just pull them off and then begin to grind before you use to cook.
Now, some of the things in your garden, for instance, like you said, you can harvest some seeds from these herbs in some cases. Can you talk about that a little bit? Or once you cut your herbs for this year and dry them, as you're talking about, is that pretty much it? Next year you have to plant new herb starts, is that the, or seeds? Is there anything that you can kind of salvage? Because I noticed in some of my herb boxes, I didn't do anything, and some stuff came back up, like, for instance, rosemary and the thyme, and even the little onions, you know, the scallions and the little green onion things just came back, and I didn't do anything. So what will you leave in your little herb section? Like, you're going to cut stuff down to the soil, basically, and dry that and just leave whatever is under the soil in there?
Yeah, you can. And the other thing is you have to remember about herbs, too, is depending on the temperature. You know, in the Northwest, you know, we tend to have snow flurries and snow compact in the last few years, too. But we tend not to have super long-lasting winters. So the other thing that you can do, too, is if you decide, I don't want to do an herb garden, that's too much. You know, I don't want to have the wear and tear. But I can tell you, if you bring it inside, there's not much wear and tear, to be honest. But
in other words,
when you
say bring it inside, can you bring your boxes inside, or you just – because maybe you have,
No, that's where you would actually take them and you actually replant them in pots. But you're right. If you want to keep them outside, what you would do basically is, okay, I too have had oregano, thyme, fennel, parsley, onions, whatever, and I've left them alone. But the thing you want to do to make sure that they're going to be okay for the following year, most of all, is, first of all, you're going to want to mulch them. In other words, you're not just going to want to leave them in the containers without mulching them first. So what I would suggest, if you're going to keep them in your pots, is put at least 1.5 to 2 inches of extra dirt and get some a little bit of bark and maybe a little bit of hay. And just make sure you wrap it around, you know, the outwards and the inwards of the plants or whatever, so that if we do get a deep freeze or a cold comes, your chances of the root, because the root is what has to survive. So
that's
you
what
want
I wanted to ask.
Yeah, you want to make sure that
heat. So, in other words, the root, as long as you don't kill the root, you have a good chance of it coming back.
Yeah, you don't want to expose that root at all. You want to make sure that everything in there, you know, is packed and warm and keeps, you know, the heat coming downward, you know, versus the cold being upward. You want that heat to stay in there. So you've got to pack it. So if you want to keep them that way, that's a good way to do it. The other thing I would tell you that this, you know, the Grams used to do years ago, too, and this is with your flowers, too, and your herbs, too, is you can actually take any plastic bags you have. I know it sounds strange, and it probably doesn't look very pretty, but if a cold spell comes and we're unaware of it, one thing Grams used to do, and she was quite the gardener, was she would grab even her dog food bags or whatever it was, and she'd place them over the containers just to keep the deep freeze from hitting and impacting, you know, the leaves itself. And it just stays
From what I understand, the idea is not so much to keep the soil warm as it's to keep the temperature even, right?
Exactly.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Yes. And then once the soil is frozen, the mulch will keep everything else frozen, right?
Well, yeah, because the 4-inch layer of mulch will help keep the plants warm when the temperatures turn cold. And once the ground is frozen, the mulch itself, because it's there, it will keep the base of each plant from getting damaged by the cool air and by the frozen ground. Yeah, so it packs
the down. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And it also promotes rot. You know, you want to make sure you promote rot. You don't want to have rot on your plant. So basically,
said you want to promote rot. You want to prevent is what you meant, right?
Well, it can promote rot. In other words, it basically promotes the rot of the ground. And but I'm saying what it's going to do is it's going to keep the impact of the warm temperatures within the ground. So it's not going to cause things to get soggy in there, you know, where it damages the root. It's going to keep things warm at the temperature that the plant is equipped to handle through the winter and through the cold months. So and then it will promote new growth in the spring because you protected it. That's why I said to you, you know, you think your flowers are beautiful this year. My gosh, you cut them down, you do it right, whatever it may be, and next year they're going to be 3 times it. If you do it right, it's like taking care of yourself. If you do it right, it's going to grow, you know. But you've got to protect the ground.
And so, like when you're talking about like snow, like in a sense, like when it starts snowing, this is afterwards. The snow can like protect the plant, but can it endanger it as well? Like if it, like a good thick snow would cover and insulate the soil like a mulch in a sense, but then if the snow gets piled up, it can break it can break some of these things. So what's a good way to deal with that?
Well, with those kinds of things, for me, there are plants that I would suggest that you do dig up. There, you know, I would replant them in containers and just bring them out of the ground if they're in the ground and not, you know, in pots. I'd bring them out of the ground. I'd find a place, maybe you have in your garage, you know, wherever maybe you can get a little light, you can get a little light to lamp up, whatever you want to call it, because there are going to be some herbs like Greek oregano, lemon, rosemary. You know, they're real sensitive to cold. So if you don't want to take the time to mulch and do what you need to do to protect your flowers and your plants and your herbs, then what you're going to want to do is say, okay, I want to keep low maintenance. What do I want to do? So then I would suggest to you to dig them up from the root and plant them and find the area within your house, within your garage, with whatever you have, and create an environment for those herbs and those plants to the best ability to keep the temperatures and everything to where it keeps those to the spring.
Well, my question is, when you put them in the pots, do you have to water them through the winter or what?
Oh, yeah, you have to water them. You know, it's low maintenance. But, you know, everything we know, if we don't nurture it, you know, and check it, you know, and create ways for it to be okay, we can't just leave it alone to itself. That's why if we could just leave our gardens and say, oh, till next year, you know, but we know that realistically we can't do that. We have to prepare, you know, for the ground, and we have to prepare the plants, you know, just like anything else. We're preparing for a whole different settings of sunlight and temperature. So now we have to safeguard if we want to have those plants for the following year.
Okay, and so when you're doing all this, you're getting rid of, like, all the diseased, you know, so to speak, foliage from, like, some of the plants and shrubs. And what do? You just get rid of it. You don't turn that diseased stuff into mulch, right? You want to remove that from your garden. In other words, like, you know, the stuff that's kind of rotten and stuff, that doesn't really necessarily make good mulch, does it?
Well, what you're going to do basically, if you're talking about when you remove the plants, you're basically, you can leave your garden pretty much the way it is. You're going to add to it is what you're going to do. Now you're going to begin to toil the soil, because when you start to toil the soil, things start to move around. So you're going to toil
talking
the
about
soil.
That. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your toiling talk.
Okay. Well, you know, you're going to also want to make the garden site, you know, pretty well drained. You want to make sure it's well draining itself. You know, you got to keep the soil pH, you know, nutrients going to the plants and as well for the next year. You know, you could, you know, by mixing oyster shell lime, you could do that. It raises the pH level. You know, you can add the mulch and things like that and mix up in the soil, you know, just mix it all together. But what I'm talking about is you take whatever out there, the rake, the hoe, whatever it may be, or the rototiller, and just get that baby toiled up. I mean, just loosen that ground.
It says, like, if you make the soil active, in a sense, it'll kill the weeds and the disease pathogens, and, you know, the inactive piles do not. So if you just let it sit there, it rots, right? So you really do got to work it a bit.
Yeah, exactly. You just want to, you know, a rake is so huge because, you know, even you did that when you were, you know, doing the dahlias. A rake is so huge because it levels off the ground.
Yeah.
It gets everything going. You're mixing it through, you know, but make sure that you just basically turn over that soil continuously, you know. And the other thing is, too, is a real good thing is to mix plenty of organic matter if you're concerned about your soil, any of that kind of stuff.
Right, I like that thought.
Yeah, but the biggest
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The biggest thing is, you know, it's just as much time as you put into it. I don't know how big of a space of a garden that each person might have. It might require a lot of time. I don't know. It just depends on your mindset as to what you see for the following year or what you're putting away inside your canning goods or what you're going to be storing or how you're going to keep that herb garden going. But the soil is so incredibly important for the following year because you really want to just, it's like combing your hair. You know, you get knots in it and you can't expect your hair to look beautiful if you don't brush it. You know?
So I'm beyond hope with that. I had you have hair with a, you know. Anyway, we won't get into that. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about now: how do you prevent, like, things from nesting in your garden, like rodents, for instance, in the soil? Is it better to wait until things start freezing before you add, like, 6 or 8 inches of that organic material as winter mulch or something like that? I mean, because that's what I was thinking. Because we know, because you look in gardens, you see little sort of items you know, slugs and snails and stuff, but are a little mice and field mice and things like that, or anything, if you're out in the country a little bit, are they going to find a really nice little home to nest in? Is there, do you have to think about that to prevent that from happening?
You know, we all have those little pesky critters, you know, that like to come and kind of mess up our world a little bit. But I would say pretty much I would pretty much leave it alone. You know, what I would do, like I said, once again, is toil the soil. You know, if you can think about yourself going even in the winter months or whatever, you know, and just rechecking all the work you're doing now in September and October, and some people up until November, you know, just make sure you toil that soil, you know, and if you see any pesky creatures or whatever that you don't want in your garden that are messing with this or messing with that, I would just say basically just go out and check it. If there's any, I don't think they're going to bring any harm to you as everything's removed. You know, but the biggest thing, like I said, is the, you know, fertilizing, the mulching, you know, those kinds of things and your organic stuff that you're going to be placing on your dirt. I think that's probably the best thing to do. I don't think that you're really going to have any control. I mean, some people do, you know, but, you know, this is a time where they're also going to kind of, you know, go and find a place to hide out, stay warm themselves, you know.
Right. Well, I was thinking about, we unfortunately, you know, I think I talked to you when we were preparing the show and said our time is going to fly by so quick, there's so much to talk about. We may have to continue part two of this next week because we don't have that much time left. So would you be willing to come back next week and do part two of Putting Your Garden to Bed? Because I think we have a lot more stuff to talk about and we're not going to do it in 7 minutes. Would you be my guest for next week?
Yeah, that would be great. And I just want to also just say, I want to encourage all the listeners too. You know, an herbal garden, you know, if you're a plant lover, it's a really nice aroma, you know, to walk into your house and we have a place to smell those herbs too, you know, because it adds so much comfort, you know, to you through the fall, because, you know, we don't get a lot of, you know, sunshine sometimes and smells that kind of, to, you know, kind of bring us that kind of awareness, you know, that, you know, spring's just around the corner. So I would say to anybody who wants to have an herb garden, gosh, keep it as close as you can. It'll get you through the winter months as well if you decide to do it.
Right. Well, what I want to do is talk about a couple of things that people can gather. We still have a little bit of time left. Not much, though, because I know that many times within a week or two of October, it's really starting to get cold quick. And I can think of hundreds of Halloweens where, well, it wasn't hundreds, but I would say, let's see, you know, 30 or 40 Halloweens anyway, that, you know, the weather literally turned to snow and that kind of thing. But I wanted to talk about really quickly just some materials, because we are going to run out of time. You know, I don't mean for the show, but, you know, it's going to go quick and people need to be thinking about this. Getting things together like some wire mesh, you know, to put around like your young little trees for the winter. And what about some burlap to just put around trees and plastic? Should people start gathering some of this material? Because then we can talk next week about how to use it all. And also, 1 week between today and next week for our Saturday morning show, a lot can change. So really quickly, is it time to start pulling in things like tomatoes and trying to, if things are ready, actually start harvesting them and getting them out of the garden so by next week or the week after we can actually start tying things down for the winter? We were talking about seeds, and there are so many different types of seeds. Right off the top, because we only have about 5 minutes left, what are some of the seeds that you can harvest besides the herbs? Can you harvest tomato seeds or zucchini seeds or pumpkin seeds that we know we can do that? What, in 3 minutes or less, tell me about seeds.
You know, right now I would say if you haven't already done your peas and your beans, you might not be okay because they're pretty much gone. I would say, you know, a lot of people have already taken their beans and their peas, you know, and placed them on a cookie sheet pan and on top of their fridge, which seems to be the norm, you know, drying them out for the following year. So that seems to be the thing that should have happened already for people that know gardening. You know, for your other things, your pumpkin, all that stuff, that's all coming up. You still have time for your pumpkin, your squash and things like that, you know, to be able to dry those seeds, have them ready for the following year. Once again, you've got the 2 or 3 week, you know, wait. You know, whatever
so
may be driving
stuff, out. You haven't harvested stuff and some of the stuff, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You know, we have this little bit of delay because you're calling in, so that's kind of why I have to keep saying I'm sorry I'm interrupting. But when you, like, for instance, like if certain things that have gone to flower, you know, like I have some basil in my garden that's gone to flower in some case. Can I take those flowers and harvest those seeds as basil seeds? Does that work?
You know, basil's a little iffy. You can try it. Once again, mm-hmm. what I would do is I'd take it if you've got it on the stem, basically. I would basically cut it in the branch stem type deal with the basil, and I would basically mm-hmm. just do the 2 or 3 drying spell again and wait till it dries. And, you know, like I said, you've got an iffy chance there. Now, the thing with the herb part of it, the greatest part about the herb part of it is when the time comes to basically start your herb garden again, you can take, like, the basil seed after it's dried, and you can use egg crates. You can use egg crates, okay? Get your egg crates. This is a good way of saving your egg crates or whatever, and grab that, put the soil inside. You don't bury the seed very far, and you just transplant the seed. Just a little bit water, just a bit. Find a lit area with sunlight, and your herbs, you know, will take off to those egg cartons. So that's how you start your herb garden the following year. It's a very easy way. You know, then you can transplant when they get to that point where you can see that there's actually growth there. So that's a good way, you know, not to waste your time just to see whether or not they're going to come back as a seed form. Not always, but sometimes they do.
Not always.
It's just not always, no. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not. But you can try it. It's not a waste of time.
Sounds good.
Try any of that. Yeah, so that would be my advice to that is, you know, give it a 2-3 week, you know, dry period. And then when you're ready to, you know, grab those and plant those before spring, then do so. But you're going to want it, you know, before that, you're going to want to make sure that it's a good, even temperature once again. It's all about temperature and sunlight. You know,
well, next week.
And the right time.
That's the temperature and sunlight is the key. Next week, I would like to cover exactly the balances. I want you to tell us how we can cover the beds, if we have to wrap rose bushes, what materials we'll need, like plastic or burlap or ground cloth to prevent the weeds from coming in, and tuck everybody in for a nice, restful hibernation for the winter. And also what I'd like to do next week, Rhonda, is talk about, specifically talk about a couple of things we can harvest and cook and can. I'm not a canner. I know that you've done a little bit of that, but see what we can use, how we can use our freezer and our containers to put stuff away and have some delicious things to eat through the winter.
Okay.
And that would be really good, and I think that would be really fun. Well, you know, I have so many more questions, and I knew that we were going to run out of time. But it's exciting, and I hope our listeners are learning something from this, and I want to encourage people that they can come and they can write to me, and you can also write directly to Rhonda as well, and you can do it all through the Chef Suarez Foodomania Facebook page, and I encourage you to go there and like it, and then you can write us messages and write me messages and anything that you, more about the gardening stuff that Rhonda, who in my opinion is so lucky to have her, will be able to answer your questions too. So please do that. You can again also write directly, and in the subject line, you know, write question for Rhonda. I would suggest directing most of your questions towards things that we still have the time to do, and that could be at Chef Stuarto, CHEF as in Frank, S as in Sam, TUARTO at hotmail.com. Also want to encourage people to to absolutely tune in to Bar Talk Radio, and you can go back to the archive and listen to all the shows under Foodomania. Please do that because there's so much good information. This is really, really exciting. I'm really, really happy, Rhonda, that you joined me today. Again, and thank you for all the great information.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was great. I love talking about this kind of stuff.
Well, you know, you do a good job, and I guess we'll say goodbye.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, you have a good weekend, too. Thanks a lot for calling.
Uh-huh. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. So much really great thanks to Rhonda E. for joining us. All right. We'll see you next week on Foodomania. Thanks for listening. Adios, amigos.